you so much for inviting me to speak here. My subject, or my topic of my talk is what drives Pakistan's foreign policy. It's quite a difficult subject to deal with. A former foreign secretary was once quoted saying Pakistan's foreign policy is in a minefield without a map. One cannot agree with him more. Being at the main fault line of geopolitics, Pakistan faces a full spectrum of security and foreign policy challenges, from terrorism and militancy to conventional and non-traditional threats. Our volatile neighborhood has compounded our predicament. While it has a hostile border with India in the east and Afghanistan in the west, our relations with other neighboring country, Iran, remains uneasy. Our relations with the United States are on a free fall, though we are still supposed to be allied in the war against terrorists. It is certainly not a very happy situation for a country stuck in the middle of a new great game. The civil war in the Middle East, the Arab-Iran power tussle, and the tension among major powers, this fueling global instability, all have implications on Pakistan. How do we navigate through this geopolitical minefield? This brings us the question, what drives Pakistan's foreign policy? From the very outset, our foreign policy has remained security-centric. The survival instinct of a fragile new state probably necessitated it. Pakistan's sense of insecurity has been the core driver of its foreign policy since partition. Its close alliance with the United States-led regional security system had also been shaped by this core insecurity dynamics. Unfortunately, the tyranny of geography and the burden of history have consistently put security at the top of Pakistan's national agenda. The wider world and other drivers of foreign policy pursued by other countries, such as economy, have been absent from strategic thinking. Then there is also an issue how one defines national security. The normal pursuit of national interest has been primarily defined in hard security terms, a wider definition that highlights the pursuit of economic and social prosperity of the people of Pakistan, as the rational goal is missing from the discourse. Undoubtedly, the military dimension of national security is an important component of national security, but it is not the only one. To be truly secure, a nation needs other forms of security. In today's world, national security encompasses a broad range of facets that includes economic well-being, food and environmental security. Security threats involve not only external, but also, as in the case of Pakistan, violent non-state actors. Notwithstanding the rhetoric, there is no indication of Pakistan changing its narrow approach. That also constrains the effort to embark on a pragmatic foreign policy course. The military security tunnel vision and one-dimensional approach have been responsible for Pakistan's growing regional alienation. A foreign policy driven by paranoia and narrow security concerns has been a major factor in driving the country towards a roadblock. Pakistan's principal challenges lies within defeating militancy, and extremism, reviving economy, resolving the energy crisis, educating its children, and generating jobs to absorb youth birth. In our rapidly growing population, to avert looming demographic disaster. The implication of all these problems for national security are apparent and can be ignored only at the great peril. Thus, strategic choices most consequential to Pakistan's future concerns are these internal challenges. For sure, challenges within is in a several way linked to Pakistan's external environment, not least because peaceful neighborhood is crucial for Pakistan to focus unhindered and undistracted to solving deep-seated domestic problems. The welfare of the nation, the power of a state, and the importance of its voice in the community of the nation is drawn from the strength of its economy and not by its military prowess only. Therefore, Pakistan's foreign policy ought to be determined primarily by economic interests. The center of gravity of the global economy is going through a historic shift from west to east. Unfortunately, our priorities have remained twisted. As a result, Pakistan has been left far behind the other Asian countries in economic development. Instead of focusing on economy and trade and regional connectivity, we have been preoccupied with the regional conflicts. Economic dependence has also limited our foreign policy options. Now, what are options for us now? What we have seen, the one thing is that shifting of our focus. That will not be an easy thing, obviously, because given the geopolitical situation, because of the conflict within the region. But certainly, we have to change the course. Let's see actually the example of other countries in our neighborhood. They are the big power now, for example, India. India over the last one decade, India's per capita income has doubled, and with a population of 1 billion, it does not mean that it is not building up its military strength. But India's position today is largely because of its economic development. Prime Minister Modi's, the main endeavor of Prime Minister Modi has been focused on economy. Certainly, the other example, and I think the more remarkable development has taken place in China. Over the last two decades, the per capita income of China with a population over 1 billion has tripled. In 10 years, that's also helped pull more than 700 million people out of poverty. Given present time, China will emerge as the largest economy in the world over the next two decades, apart from other factors. A successful population control program has also contributed to it. In fact, actually, when we're talking about China, we have the best of relations. When we talk about our regional isolation, China remains our main friends there. But let's see actually how China has run its foreign policy. Over the past two decades, China has completely focused its energies on economic development. That has certainly helped make the country's economic superpower. While fully protecting its sovereignty, China has refrained from being drawn into conflicts despite provocations. It set aside its dispute with other countries in order not to deviate from its main focus. Chinese leadership has remained calm in face of the US policy of containment. Nothing seems to have diverted its attention from this economy. 2 weeks ago, I was in China attending a conference, Shanghai Forum, and the entire focus seems to be on connectivity and economic development. A major goal for China is now to build this One Belt, One Road. That is basically a very ambitious project. And obviously there are so many hindrances, but they are completely focused on that. And obviously Pakistan-China economic corridor is a part of this. Well, yes, actually one would admit that there has been some effort to change the course. The present government has made it a policy, part of the policy framework to connectivity and economic development. But still, it remains, could not be fully implemented. A major problem, again, I would say, is maybe sound very provocative, is that we don't even know sometimes that who runs the foreign policy of this country. That has been a perennial debate in Pakistan. And that is, I think, this divergence of views is one of the major reasons of us having a very clear foreign policy, which could meet at the demand of the changing world. In fact, the threat of Pakistan's security, the other issue, very important issue, which also determines our foreign policy, is the internal threat, the threat from militancy and terrorism. That does not only affect Pakistan, but also the other countries and our relations with other countries. In fact, the threat of Pakistan's security is not from external forces that much, but from internal instability. And as a result, more insecure, the worsening conflict with India and Afghanistan has been a major stumbling block in the way of greater regional economic integration and connectivity. Yes, actually, but we talked a lot about China-Pakistan economic corridor. The $46 billion investment. There's no doubt about that. That could be a game changer. But there's also a problem here, that while China's vision is very clear, what do they want? But are we also have a clear vision about it? How do we want to benefit from that? A lot will depend on various states. Like there's already a lot of controversy about Western route or Eastern route. I think these things have to be resolved. It is not just a grant or handout from China. This is going to be an investment here. And every country would like to return or have a return on their investment. The moral is simple, that if we have to have a dynamic foreign policy, we need to re-examine the drivers of foreign policy. There's no doubt about that, the fact that military aspect is an important, particularly in the case of Pakistan. But unless we have a strong economic situation, we cannot have any voice in the Committee of Nations. Look at the example over the last 10 years, just see where we stand there. And that actually also determines our position internationally. Pakistan's economic growth rate has been around 3% over the last 10 years, far less than other countries. India is the fastest growing country in the world today, with 8% growth rate. China, despite the fact that it has slowed down, but still its economy is developing at the rate of 7%, which is basically quite significant given its size of economy. Pakistan has left far behind even other South Asian countries like Sri Lanka and even Bangladesh. So, a policy of economic integration with China on one hand and South Asia on other will only maximize Pakistan's economic gains, but also provide balance to its relationship with its large neighbor. Accordingly, our foreign policy should aim to build not only North-South economic corridor with China, but also expand our connectivity with other countries. According to a recent United Nations Development Programme report, in terms of speed and scale, this economic and if South Asia achieve economic integration, as envisaged in South Asia Free Trade Area, SAFTA, then South Asia can emerge as the second largest economy in the world, thereby making China South Asia region the greatest economic powerhouse of human history. Thanks so much.